It is time to turn our attention to the Laser Radial World Championships because Aoife Hopkins and Aisling Keller just this morning have qualified Ireland for the competition at next year's Olympics. Congratulations, folks. How are things?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Pretty happy out here.
So right now you're somewhere in West Japan. Where exactly are you and what has happened this morning? We were just talking that you're in the back arse of Japan, not comparable to Cork whatsoever. So the Laser Radial World Championship, obviously, your goal during these championships was to get to the Olympics next year in Tokyo. You must have been absolutely delighted this afternoon. Talk us through what actually happened in the order of events over the last couple of days, because I know people here might have been kind of half following it.
Yeah, so the event is 6 days long, so like 3 days in, the fleet is split into like basically the better half and the worst half. So thankfully we were in the better half. And after that, there was 14 unqualified countries in, it's called Gold Fleet. So we kind of just have to keep our head and stay sailing well to make sure that we are in the top 10 of the unqualified countries, which thankfully we did.
How much of a balancing act is that, Aoife, in terms of actually staying within the top 10 and actually trying to make your way to the top? Like, are you aware that you're in the top 10 throughout? Is it like this is safe and this, you have to think of the bigger picture almost when you're in that position?
Yeah, for sure. Like, during the regatta, either one or both of us at all stages was actually in a qualifying position, like right. Every night. So, you know, we were quite aware of that, and you know, every day going into the next day hoping to hold that. It was kind of a balance between sailing your own race in terms of the strategy and tactics that worked for that day and that race, and also keeping an eye out for the other unqualified countries and kind of seeing where they were at, and you know, covering them a little bit, not, you know, sometimes not separating too much if you thought they were going the right way, that kind of thing.
And what were those tactics? What was that strategy?
I mean, the entire week was offshore winds. So basically it was coming from the land and it was extremely shifty and patchy. It was really, really tough sailing. You kind of just had to keep your, as Rory's word of the, or phrase of the week was head on a swivel. You had to just be going like this the whole time to kind of look for the wind and the angles of the different boats. So it was kind of you were kind of just trying to stay in the wind and cross the fleet when you can. And then, yeah, also just keeping an eye out for those unqualified countries.
Aisling, do you want to talk?
Especially in the last couple of days.
Right, okay. Aisling, can you talk us through how that works then? Like, I'm sure Rory's very good in terms of helping you create an IQ when it actually comes to sailing, when it comes to in competition and how you actually approach these sort of races, because every race is different given the different conditions. So in the middle of a race, are you thinking to yourself, right, this is what Rory has told me, or do you have a very rote way of actually learning this and knowing exactly what to apply in which specific circumstance?
Well, this week it was very much like to be honest, I never had like a specific game plan for each race. It was like, I'm going to start and give myself the option, because when the wind's coming off the land like that, it can come in either on the right side or the left side and stuff like that. So you kind of have to just start and give yourself options and go fast and kind of like, you know, decide, okay, like maybe like 5 minutes into the race that you think the wind's going to come in the right-hand side of the course, so you'll go to the right-hand side that time. But it was very much like we've trained these conditions and like the strategy for the day would be to give yourself options and use the race course. So yeah, that was it pretty much.
Right, that's interesting. So describe to us the scenes then when you do realise that you've qualified a place for Ireland at next year's Olympics.
Yeah, it wasn't as dramatic as you might expect. Because we hadn't really realised on the water, we didn't know if we'd actually qualified or not.
Right.
As I said, we were both in qualifying position before today, and then I had a pretty rough day, Aisling had a good day, but we were kind of, like, I was ahead before today, and then, obviously, you had a really good day, so kind of jumped up, but I had a bad day and kind of jumped down, so it was quite borderline, and, you know, all the other girls, obviously had, some of them had one good race, one bad race, and we're looking at, you know, 13 other countries here. So The other thing was, in sailing, when you reach a number of races, you get to actually discount one of them.
Sure.
Discounted another race, and you're kind of saying, well, which ones did which girls get rid of? Was it from 3 days ago, or was it today's race? So we really didn't know until we'd, you know, got ashore, got deraged, waited for the results to go off, and then, you know, it was kind of Rory beckoning us over quietly with a big smile on his face, so we knew then. But before that, it was kind of, I wasn't daring to hope, and Aisling was, so it was a bit of a kind of, stop that, you know, I don't know.
How did you feel, Aisling, when you realised it was job done?
I woke up this morning and I just had a feeling that it was going to be a good day. I had a bit of passport drama. So I got my passport back last night. So, geez, don't tell my mother that. I didn't tell her that. But I felt like that was like a sign. And I woke up this morning and I slept good last night and I felt good and I had a good day and I felt like it was just, things were going right for me. So I just had a feeling that we had done it. But Rory said, like, before the last race, there's a few countries that we had to keep an eye on and beat. And he was like, oh, and there's another few that you're way ahead and they literally have to go out and win the race. And there was a girl from Thailand who was one of those people and she went and won the race.
Nice. So
it was touch and go, like, but I don't know, I just had a feeling.
So tell us about the passport. What did happen?
I'm going on holidays to Shanghai after this because we're going back to Enoshima, like near Tokyo, in a week. So there's no point going home because my brother is in Shanghai, so I'm going to visit him. And I didn't get the visa sorted in time, so I had to fly to Japan, send the passport back, get a visa, and then DHL it back. And it was supposed to be here on Monday. And it didn't arrive until yesterday evening. So that was like some stress I didn't really need. But it all worked out in the end.
So you got a passport.
I haven't told anybody that. My mother was actually going to freak out.
A passport and an Olympic place for Ireland. It's not been a bad week.
Yeah, and a Chinese visa.
And a Chinese visa, that's important as well. Talk to us about what actually happens next, folks, because it's an interesting one. There's obviously only one place available. That's why I've been at pains to stress. This is a place for Ireland. One of you is going to the Olympics. Is that correct to say?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, people have asked us if that's tough to deal with. And I'm sure when we do have to deal with it, you know, it will obviously be harder on one of us than the other. But we have known for years that it was going to be this way. You know, we got into it knowing that it's a sport where only one person, you know, if you qualify the country, only one person from that country can go, no matter how good or how many other good sailors there are. So it is really tough that way. Like, I mean, you take the Dutch team, for example, and three of those girls are in the top 10 in the world, but only one of them can go to the Olympics. So it is a really, really tough sport in that sense. But I mean, we've known all along, so I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But for now, it's not. I don't think it's an issue, do you?
Yeah, we'll cross it when we come to it.
When does that bridge get crossed and how does that happen?
There'll be a few different regattas next year and in the end we'll find out in the end of April, I think. So we have three regattas and it'll be whoever does the best between the three of them.
Right, so it's all performance-based.
Yeah, it's just a trials series, and it's the three regattas within a month, so.
That's interesting, because we were speaking at the top here about how the two of you and how Rory were kind of working in tandem with one another to come up with the best tactical approach to a race today, no doubt keeping your cards close to your chest if you were talking to any of the other competitors today. How do you think that dynamic will now change come next April, or the races between now and April, I should say?
I haven't thought of it anyway. I assume the way we'll work it is, like, all along, you know, sailing is an individual sport. Mm. Like, to be honest, this event is the first time that we've really been racing with each other rather than against each other, because it was the first time where we had a common goal, which was to qualify Ireland. It didn't matter, like, we both did it in the end, but it actually didn't matter who did it as long as the country was qualified, and then we'd, you know, see who actually went. So it was the first time we'd really been, you know, sailing together. We've always been a team, but it was the first time where it really felt like that, you know, during racing. So, I mean, it will definitely be a different dynamic during the Olympic trials, but I assume that we'll, you know, keep the same communication up, try and help each other, and just, you know, let whoever's performing better on the day come away with what they get, you know?
Did you enjoy that a bit more over the last few days, working more as a team, having that sort of team aspect feel to it rather than being an individual?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it anyway. And I mean, Irish Sailing have done a really good job in cultivating a team atmosphere within what is essentially an individual sport, and not just between us, but between the other classes as well. So especially now that we've got the new base, we can, you know, we all see each other around there and can really help each other out, motivate each other, all that. So it is really nice. It makes it a lot more doable, you know, and a lot more fun.
So it's over to the other side of Japan, I understand, next week then. That is the course that will be used. That is where the Olympic races will take place next year.
Yeah, that's right.
So is it going to be kind of... it's obviously knuckling down, seeing what the actual setup is. Is it going to be different to the one you race in this week? Presumably, it doesn't really matter. It just all depends on the conditions.
Yeah, you know, the conditions changes so much wherever you are. It's hard to know. Like, before this regatta, we had like a few days of wind from the complete opposite direction and like nice waves and everything. We didn't get that once during the regatta. So, you know, like, there's a lot to be said for going out to a venue early, but you can't guarantee that you're going to get the same conditions that you trained in before the regatta.
It is 11 p.m. there now, so we're going to let you go. Time to get some sleep, I'd imagine. Aoife and Aisling, thanks a million for taking the call. Very best of luck with the next couple of weeks and months, and Aisling, very best of luck with getting into China.
Thank you.
Chat to you soon, folks.